Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
On tomorrow's show, Herbie, what are we doing tomorrow? We're talking with Joe tomorrow.
And Jason Leisure.
And Jason Leisure tomorrow. All right, good. Football. Yeah, that's what we're going to do on the show. And considering the length of the game yesterday, I don't know if Parkins and Spiegel really got a bite at the apple, unless they just decided once it was 6-1, 7-1, they're like, yeah, you know what, we can start the postgame
We
now.
Started
That's
early.
That's pretty much what happened.
We started in like the eighth inning, and we told people, hey, we're starting early, but they might rally, and they did not rally.
They did not rally.
And saying that they might rally was kind of half-hearted. It was like, they're down. They're down 9 runs with 3 outs to go.
I think it was 7-1 when we started. It was pre-Altuve bomb.
Yeah, but I was like, we could probably start talking about it.
So I wasn't sure if this is the turn the page day, if Parkins' reign on the show was now going to take its next step.
Justin Fields against Aaron Rodgers for first place.
There you go.
We've got plenty of time to do all of that. Mm-hmm. And we will do some today, because you can't just sit here and bemoan White Sox things after it's been bemoaned in your mind for a while now. But there are certain things. I have decided I'm not going to let the defensive positioning thing go all offseason, deep into spring training, into next year. They were 27th out of 30 in shift percentage against righties. They were 28th out of 30. The Dodgers are second out of 30 against righties. If they had actually done this stuff that people are doing around the league, a lot of those ground balls would not be hits. And things could be a little bit different. I'm not saying that that's why they lost the series.
Yeah.
But those kind of things, like, I love that they did the pitch lab stuff. Took them a long time to catch up, but they went and got themselves a Rapsodo, got themselves the Edgertronic camera. They're all excited. Got themselves a modern pitching coach. Time to do it with defense. Grow up as a franchise.
I just like that there's nothing ever just seems to go normal. You know, like, we got a leaked report already about what you're going to do with Craig Kimbrell. It ended with, like, Tony La Russa being very obviously performative.
Yeah,
with his rage.
Angry, you know, rage-filled, I mean, like, obfuscation.
It's just like, some teams, like the Brewers, they like, all right, it was disappointing. Baseball randomness, got outplayed.
We'll see you next year.
Lost in four, it happens, right? Like, it's just, they'll make some changes, they'll make some tweaks, but, like, the White Sox, there's just always something weird. There's just always a little bit of drama. There's always a little bit of confusion. Seems like a little bit of unnecessary stuff. Like, I don't.
It is.
It doesn't ultimately matter, I don't think, but it does muddy the waters a bit. Like, we talked about, like, Matt Nagy and how he handled some stuff publicly, just, like, made it unnecessarily confusing for your fan base. I kind of feel the same way about how a lot of these White Sox stories go down.
Because it creates a lot of unnecessary discomfort, like the managerial hire. And remember last year? It was like, uh-oh, no, the manager's going to talk. Uh-oh, that's bad news when you start getting publicity for the manager. They leak sources to one guy and only one guy, as you're talking about, and we all know for facts that there are very powerful people in the organization who don't like the way that some things are done. It's just, it's very obvious dysfunction that doesn't need to be there. And 5 years ago, when they made what felt like a clean break to start fresh, you're thinking that this is not your father's White Sox, and now some things feel like your father's White Sox.
One of the things that I feared was that performative stuff. The baseball police have arrived at 35th and Shields, and it's in the form of the manager of your team at the end of a series where you're getting clobbered. That's when he decides, you know what? I need to go get my gun, get my star, put it on my chest, and go on out there as the baseball police. And what I loved about it, I loved Maldonado looking into their dugout being like, what? And I loved that Dusty just kind of sat there. Like, years before, Dusty would have engaged. But you know what Dusty did? He's like, we're winning. I'm going to sit right here and let you make an ass out of yourself on national television.
Well, that was the thing. Like, if it was a bleep measuring contest, they lost. Like, they looked kind of clownish. Yes. Now, the players didn't. You know what I mean? I'm sure they were pissed on some level, but more about getting their ass kicked. Tony looked ridiculous.
And even Abreu going to first was just kind of like, I'm good. I'm going to go over here.
Yeah, it's happened before. It'll happen again. Let's just keep this moving and get it over
with. Let's get it over with and let's go home.
Yeah, we said it in the moment because, like, I'm not able to watch every pitch, right? Hosting a show, kind of have my back to the screen. I was like, yo, this is ridiculous. Like, it looked like a Broadway performance he was auditioning for what he was doing yesterday.
You don't have to go very far to find instances where Tony La Russa was on the other side of this stuff as a Cardinal and as an Oakland A, but let me take you to 1983 with the White Sox, because a friend of mine who was in the room with Tony after Game 3 against the Orioles got in touch with me last night and was like, go back and look at this. Game 3 against the Orioles, Rich Dotson hit Eddie Murray and Cal Ripken, right? And after the game, Rich Dotson says, I got the message from the manager. Get the first two guys out of the way. Hit the third guy. And Tony afterwards is pretending, oh, I'm here to tell you that Ripken was not hit intentionally. And quietly in his office after the game, he was saying, yeah, Dotson shouldn't have said that. Rich Dotson shouldn't have said that. That's what I got last night. So it's like, Tony, he just picks whichever side is freaking convenient to distract from everything when he loves the beanball toughness BS.
Well,
he freaking loves it.
It's why there's no reason to let it distract.
No, like that most people are not getting hung up on it, it seems.
Yeah, it was a show. It was a silly, unnecessary show, but it doesn't distract from the fact that the better team won. The White Sox got their ass kicked. They are a crazy talented team. It was a very fun season. They should be right back here next year.
Maybe.
The expectation will be they will be preseason favorites in the division.
They will be the favorites, but I really wish that people would stop acting that it's a foregone conclusion that they win the Central next year, because I don't think that we should take that jump.
They have to get better. They clearly have to get better.
I'm just talking about it purely from the market standpoint.
No, you're right.
They will be the favorite. They will be the most talented team. But one of the things that we'll talk about a little bit more today is it will be interesting to see, and it's been a story as long as the White Sox have been a team. Do they step up? Like, what do they spend? You can go through and you can look at it. The Rays are an outlier, right? But the teams in the top half of baseball in payroll are more likely to make the playoffs significantly than the teams in the lower half of baseball in payroll. So you were 17th this year. Why can't they be top 10? There is no reason that they cannot flirt with being the 10th highest payroll team in baseball.
And when, Danny, when you are in the middle of your window,
it's the time to do it. That
you have to get better, you absolutely have to do it.
And if you were so desperate to go get Tony La Russa at 76 years old, then you would think you would be desperate enough to go and spend the money to give him a team that's a little bit more bulletproof than the one that they put out there. And that's why I go back to the way the team was constructed at the beginning of the year. And Michael Brantley was my guy in free agency. I was like, that would be perfect for the White Sox to have. Not only do they not get him, they jumped that market to go get Adam Eaton.
Right.
A guy that they end up cutting. And that's where you go, are you able to spend the way that a championship team should want to spend with a septuagenarian manager?
Well, I think that they believed that Tony was going to coach him up.
And that, he didn't.
He did not at all. Did you hear Stoney give him a mulligan today with you? Said that in spring training, they were just kind of getting to know each other. He really believes that this spring training, they'll work on stuff.
I hope
like
so.
The relay game is awful. Horrific relay game all year. Horrific defensive positioning all year. Am I to believe that that's going to get coached up by who? By Super Joe McEwing, the infield coach? He's been here. By Daryl Boston, the outfield coach? I'm supposed to believe that that's going to happen? Shelly Duncan is the analytics liaison guy, supposedly. He's going to convince Tony to look at around the league at the way things are done and start doing it that way?
It's clear that no one could convince him because he should have been convinced with defensive positioning in this series.
You need to show him a supercut of all the ways that it has failed and the ways that it has cost him and say, Tony, we just need to get better. Come along with us here. Let's do this.
That's the thing. That one, and I respect the hell that you're not going to let shifting and fielding alignment go all offseason.
Because it's controllable.
Well, you shouldn't. But to me, that should be within the purview of Tony La Russa's flexibility.
Like if
Ethan Katz did what he did and the clubhouse was able to do what he did, like they're – that one doesn't seem to me to be beyond, like, I'm very skeptical of plenty of things with Tony La Russa and have been critical of plenty of it. But that one feels like it should be fairly easy to solve. What the hell does Tony La Russa care about how much they shift or not?
Well, the problem is that he's not alone. There are several teams who are under 10%. They're at like 5%. There's some teams at 6, at 7, at 8. So there still is this discrepancy with some teams and managers. Like, no. Where they are makes all the sense in the world. It doesn't always get pulled. Meanwhile, you watch Giants. If anybody saw a couple nights ago, Brandon Crawford made that unbelievable leaping catch on Mookie Betts. There's a whole article about why he was there in that freaking spot, and it's you can win games with this stuff.
Well, so you can win series with it.
Yes.
Forgive me if I missed it. Has Tony come out and said, "I won't do that. I don't believe in it"?
No, I haven't seen that.
I don't know if he's been challenged publicly directly on it.
I agree.
And Danny, that's the type of thing where you would expect his experience, that you don't have to show him numbers. His experience should tell you, okay, well, what is it that when you go through our pitching and catching meetings, where do guys hit the ball? And when you look at the spray chart for Altuve and his ground balls, there it is. To me, that's not new.
It should be an in-season fix.
Yeah.
It should be an in-season fix.
But his experience makes him want to stay with the way that he's always done it. He thinks that that is the right way. So every once in a while, there's some things like that that bite him in the ass. The other thing is that Yasmani Grandal cannot be your starter next year at catcher. And we've talked about it many times. And I love him as a hitter.
He's
I love him
DH.
As a framer. He has to be your DH. You got teams stealing bases without a throw. Most stolen bases in baseball they gave up. The highest total of wild pitches and passed balls combined in all of baseball they gave up. Stoney flat out intimating with you earlier today that Rodon was afraid to throw sliders because Grandal couldn't catch it. That's a heavy, heavy accusation right there, because everybody knew Rodon was throwing fastballs. Correa was selling out on it completely. What did he say? He was going to fall on the plate.
That was a hell of a quote.
Yeah, right?
He said he was 100% fastball. I wasn't going to let him put a fastball by me. If he threw me a slider, I would have fallen over on the home plate.
Against
like, damn.
And the Astros hit fastballs better than anybody, and they all got him. And if anybody's afraid of throwing a breaking ball in the dirt, he can't catch.
And let's go back to game one, where Lance Lynn is going, you know, there was something a little off with the pitch sequencing in this game. Now, as the pitcher, you can change that because you could just be like, no, I'm going to throw what I want to throw. But you have in this series example of maybe him not calling a great game and throughout the entire series not catching a great game. And then you flip it over to Maldonado, who affected the series without being able to hit.
There's a free agent right there, Martin Maldonado.
I'd be totally fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take him hitting 200 because I know that he's going to catch. Like, and when we go back, and I know the White Sox were never going to spend this amount of money on McCann, and McCann had his issues in New York. I just knew that in moments of when you're trying to win games, important games, you want a guy who the pitchers are comfortable with and that they trust. And there are reasons to not trust Yasmani Grandal.
Spiegs, you and I talked about this when they signed him.
I know.
He has been benched in playoff series because he can't catch.
And if you know, and he easily could have been benched again yesterday, but it wasn't going to happen. So they need to do things roster-wise that hamstring Tony.
So the payroll point, if you pull it up, pulled up SpotTrack.
Yeah, I got him 15 on 2021 payroll on SpotTrack. They're 8 for next year in terms of what's already committed at 143.
Good. And hopefully it will continue to go up. But it's just interesting, and this is just a one-year snapshot. 10 teams make the playoffs, right? How many would you guess are in the top half of baseball, bottom half of baseball?
Well, the Rays are in the bottom, right?
Correct.
But the Dodgers are clearly in the top.
Correct.
The Astros are at the top.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants, yes, with the money that they spent, Giants are...
All those veterans, they're getting good performance out of their veterans who make money, so they got to be there.
Their Giants are 10th.
Red Sox have to be there.
Red Sox are 5th.
That's a lot of them.
Yankees are 2nd, so that's 4 of the top 5. Dodgers, Yankees, Astros, Red Sox, four of your top five. Mets, the only top five payroll team to not make the playoffs.
Braves have actually been investing a lot in recent years.
Braves, 12th.
So they're top half.
The Brewers are not in the top half, are they?
The Brewers are 19th.
Yeah.
So two of your 10 playoff teams are bottom half, Brewers and Rays. 8 of your 10 playoff teams are top half. That's baseball, man.
Yeah.
It does not guarantee you success, but it helps your margin of error. And so the White Sox came in at league average, 15th. Go to the top 10. Just go to the top 10. It doesn't guarantee anything. You know, the Phillies, a disappointment based on what they spent. The Padres, obviously,
huge disappointment, right? With what they spent.
Right. So it is not a guarantee, but your margin for error, your ability to, sunk cost. We paid him, but it hurts us to play him, so we won't.
Well, they did that with Eaton.
We gave him a lot of credit when they did that.
But I will say that it was the fact that you brought him in here in the first place, and that money could have gone towards a better player.
And all I'm saying is so you're right.
Yeah, there's a couple of those that have really bitten them in the ass.
It's just because it didn't result in a banner this year.
Don't go backwards.
Don't go backwards or be stagnant. Keep adding.
I think they will, though, Danny. And if you reverse engineer the names and the teams that you just brought up, most of those teams had a really good farm system at one point that stocked them with cheap young talent, and then they've been augmenting year after year after year as they go for it and try to extend a window or try to accelerate a window. And the White Sox are one of those teams. So that's how you end up in the top half, is that you're pretty good and you realize you got to get even better. Eaton is a terrible choice in right field. Cesar Hernandez, I know he's under contract, but I can't have that guy as your starting everyday second baseman.
I saw people were like, well, they should just go get Marcus Semien. Marcus Semien hit 45 home runs.
He's going to make a lot of money.
He's probably going to be out of your price range. But it can't be that. And Cesar, I was really excited. He had a great first 2-3 weeks with the White Sox, and then just disappeared.
The numbers offensively, especially against righties, are brutal. The defense has been brutal. That cannot be your everyday guy.
In the playoffs, Speaks, you'll love this. The White Sox right-handed hitters versus right-handed pitchers against the Astros, they hit what they slugged. There was no difference. Hit singles. They hit singles, right-handed hitters versus right-handed pitchers. In that series, they only hit singles.
It's sad. They got no extra base hits from Abreu, Eloy, Tim Anderson, Luis Robert, or Yoan Moncada. None of them.
So that's...
That's insane.
That's the core.
That's your team.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the team.
So if you're not getting single extra base hit from any of those guys, then everything else becomes
chalk up to baseball randomness, right? That is your core. That is the basis of your 100 win hopes for next year.
Guys were getting hits. They just weren't slugging.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to be like, man,
You faced McCullers twice in four games.
Tim Anderson had like a historic series, but it was all singles.
Yeah.
You know, it's
that I chalk up to baseball randomness. Like I'll roll those guys back out there for the next five playoff series and assume that they will produce.
And that is the fear, that there might be enough of that thought process within the org that they look at it and you say, you know what? We're pretty damn good. It just didn't happen. Let's run it back.
No, though. But I'm saying specifically that statistic. The defensive stuff can be changed.
But a lot of people say that is everything, that you out-homer your opponent, you win, and that's that, and they did not.
Okay, well, what about saying that Lance Lynn shouldn't be your opening day starter? What about starting there? Like, you know what I mean? And saying, no.
He's fits in our rotation. He's not our top guy.
We are going to try to be better, because there are some places that you are just not upgrading, right? You are not upgrading center field. You have Luis Robert. Yoan Moncada is your third baseman. Tim Anderson is your shortstop. Grandal is on this team.
Kind of wish Tim Anderson wasn't my defensive shortstop.
In a catcher, first base, DH situation.
But you could upgrade the catcher position.
100%.
But you could do it fairly inexpensively.
But Grandal is in your 1-9.
No doubt.
Most days.
He's my DH every day.
So, fair enough. Eloy, you're not touching him. He is
correct.
In your 1-9. So there are some places that you write in ink, and then the places that you write in pencil are where Rick Hahn can tackle the offseason if he's given the correct resources. So Lance Lynn is in the rotation, but you don't have to say he is the opening day starter, most expensive starting pitcher in the rotation, if you choose not to.
Yes, you could absolutely choose to go get Robbie Ray and spend like crazy on a top of the rotation guy who has figured it out and proven it. How good would they look with Robbie Ray,
right,
and then Lance Lynn and Giolito and then Dylan Cease? And then if you want, Kopech and Renato Lopez fighting it for five, loser is the long
and
run.
I'm not trying to put unrealistic expectations on a revenue sharing, like receiving team, as opposed to a team like the Cubs or the Yankees or the Red Sox that's a revenue generating team that pays it out. But it is also objectively true that every team in baseball can afford every free agent every single year.
Correct.
The money is out there, right? The Padres spend what they spend.
Fans have just proven that they're going to go as well.
Yeah, the ratings went up. Radio ratings good. TV ratings good. Attendance good. Playoff atmosphere incredible. Health of the overall sport. National television contracts. So you're in your window. I'm not advocating. Like when the Cubs are bad, I still think they should be, at worst, the 15th highest payroll, 14th, 13th highest payroll, because they're a revenue-generating team. White Sox can bottom out and be lower than that, but not when you're contending.
I'm never going to say no to going out and getting another great starting pitcher. I mean, there's nothing more valuable than a front-of-the-rotation starting pitcher who can really go deep, as Max Scherzer goes 7 for the Dodgers. And I know it doesn't happen very much, but I still believe that roster construction is not the biggest problem here. I still believe that the biggest problem is freaking fundamentals and coaching and overall defensive play. Like, they are bad.
You think that is the number one problem with the White Sox?
They've been bad all year at some of the most basic defensive stuff, and they were bad again. It is the number one fixable problem with the White Sox. It is the number one controllable problem with the White Sox.
It's the cheapest solution to fix. You hire a good coach and you spend a bunch of time on it in spring training, and you should be able to fix that by coaching up fundamentals.
I would say, though, that it is married to the roster construction, though.
So would I.
Because some of the guys that you have, they don't have that in them.
I just think that what you can do in baseball to help mitigate some of that stuff
and buy some people.
Is buy some people. And buy some talent. So does Robbie Ray solve shifts? Obviously not. But shifts should be able to be solved by a $300,000 a year coach with a computer. You know what I mean? That is a relatively easy fix.
Here's the thing.
But the problem is,
need that. I'm sure Rick, you know what I'm saying?
He's got the computer.
You don't even need that. I'm sure Rick knows this.
But Rick's not going to be out on the field in instructionals.
No,
you know what I mean?
But Rick could be like, this is what we're doing, guys.
Teach him how to do it.
Organizationally.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing.
A lot of front offices do that around baseball. Most of them, in fact. I'd say about 20 to 25 of them. Just go ahead and do that.
We don't need to hire, the White Sox don't need to hire someone to find the problem. We know what the problem is, and they have the data. It's just present it and be like, this is now our organizational movement.
Right, but remember, so when the Cubs hired Breslow and did all of that stuff, and it's great. It helps the team. It instills an organizational philosophy from the bottom up. But, the players still weren't good enough, so they didn't win. Ethan Katz was a great thing for the pitching infrastructure of the White Sox. Glad he's here. Hope he's here for the entirety of the window.
I think there's some building off of that you can do, though.
There absolutely is. You should point at it and say, see, this works. So that's why we're bringing in this guy, Tony.
Well, right.
And we're putting him on your staff, and he's going to handle this. And that's just the way it's going to be.
My point is if the offseason, the biggest move that they made was we hired Johnny Joe base running to be the base running and defensive alignment version of Ethan Katz. And we said Johnny Joe base runner is the guy that's going to solve our base running problems.
Is he a cousin of high school Harry?
Yeah, I think he is. Defensive shifts and controlling the running game are our new coach, Ethan Katz's brother, Johnny Joe base runner. I'd be like, that's really nice, but where's your game one starter? Where's your right fielder and your second baseman? Why are you trading Craig Kimbrell for 70 cents on the dollar? Lawrence, I don't know who you would hire to be a defensive shift expert.
No, I want that guy. Yeah. I want Johnny Joe Baseball.
Yeah.
That's who I want.
Johnny Joe Base Runner. Yeah, I don't know.
I want Billy Driveline. I want Billy Driveline to come out here and work with Johnny Joe Base Runner. Takes both of them.
And sure. Marco Rapsodo. Have both of those guys come in here and do their thing.
Bring them in. But just get better players. Get better players, too. Mark Grody.
It's Bucky LaGrange.
Mark Grody joins us in an hour. Jason Benetti joins us in two hours.
He was great on post yesterday.
Yeah, he's got thoughts.
Just busting stones. It was really great.
I did not check it. I mean, we were here.
It was
Who's
him.
Stones? Busting Ozzy's?
Oh, my God. It was him and Chuck. It was – Benetti was – It should have been open mic night. He was so funny last night.
That's awesome.
It made me feel better.
He challenged Ozzy to a fight.
He did.
I think Ozzy's a slight favorite.
Too. There was all sorts of stuff that he was like, I'll do this. And
that's a go-to for Jason. That is a crowd pleaser for him. Break the tension. You want a race?
He hit Chuck a couple times with I'm talking now.
God, I love Benetti.
Which I loved.
Me too.
Me too.
That is incredible.
By the way, the top of the hour is being brought to you by DuckDuckGo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.